let's talk and let's laugh, cause I got so much to tell you, so let's go kick some ass.
Kia ora and welcome to Kick-Ass with Emma and Stephen, proudly sponsored this month by the team from the Dolphin Theatre. Head to dolphintheatre.org.nz to check out their latest shows and book some tickets. Kick-Ass is Aotearoa's comprehensive art show brought to you on Planet FM 104.6 and streaming live around the globe thanks to our podcast, which you can download from planetaudio.org.nz, and check us out on Spotify. Tonight, we chat to the fabulous Harry and Sammy about the launch of their latest musical. We're catching up with the Dunedin band Ivy as they drop their latest track, and then we're chatting to the team behind Azra, Stories of Palestinian Prisoners, soon to open at Te Pau Theatre here in Auckland. Now, to kick off the show tonight, Janaya has released a new track. It's called Dance Till We. Janaya, as Emma yanks her microphone across just as I liven it.
Yeah, well, it was back to front. I had no idea.
That was a great track, and she's doing well, you're telling us, off here.
Yeah, so she's living in London now, so she's ex-Tamaki Makaurau, Takapuna Grammar Girl, did some Junior Theatre Festival pilots, Newsies and Moana. And yeah, she's over there now releasing tracks, and there's images of her on her social media at the Brit Awards and all sorts of things. So yeah, it's so cool seeing a Kiwi living her dreams.
That is awesome. Now, did you catch any shows this week?
Oh my goodness, I just had to stop and think. No, I actually kind of slowed down this week because I wanted to get rid of this stupid flu.
No, listen to us. This weeks and weeks. I just managed to catch... Oh, I'm going to have to say it, La Lesions Dangerosas. That sounds slightly French. Said it so well last week,
they
on
did.
Air, didn't
that
they?
Sounded beautiful.
Because he just said it so fast.
Yep.
Company Theatre's production, yeah. Oh my goodness, amazing costumes. Just say that. Yeah, if you love good costumes, go and see the show.
The pictures online are so, you're just like, wow.
Very impressed. Mm. Now we've got a couple of young returnees to the studio tonight. Who have we got in here, Emma?
So, from Clockwork, the concept, original concept album. I need to get that right, don't I? We've got Harry and Sammy.
Hello.
Welcome. So what is Clockwork?
Yeah, so it is our second musical that we've written. It is a pretty much fully sung through musical. It's set inside of a cuckoo clock where all of the pieces of the clock are personified, and it follows the character Garethin, who is a clock piece that was made with deformed cog teeth. And it's about him sort of finding his way in the world, you know, living with this defect.
Did you two get locked in the Whangarei Clock Museum for a week or something? Where on earth did this storyline come from?
Yeah, honestly, it came from a sort of random place originally of I was at the town hall and I was really bored, I'll say, watching whatever I was watching.
It
was the World Choir Games. I was ushering, and so I'd been there for like 6 to 8 hours or something, and I was like,
big day.
And I just looked at that beautiful organ that's inside of the town hall, and I was daydreaming. I was like, wow, what if little people lived in there? And that sort of evolved into what if people lived inside of a clock. And I still have the program from the World Choir Games where I've drawn, like sketched in the margin of the program all the ideas. And it was really cool. Recently we looked back and sort of seeing what ideas still stuck from that original, like, scribbling out all those ideas. Yeah.
It's really fun.
And then, of course, it's growing and growing.
Yeah. Huge.
And then you've been recognised nationally through BNZ. Tell us about that.
Yeah, that was so awesome.
Yeah. Do you want to tell us about that, Harry?
Yeah, absolutely. So Sammy and I knew that we were hoping to do a big concept album and record our entire show. And it was all about funding. How are we going to find any amount of money to record 31 tracks, 2 hours of material?
It's a big job.
Huge. As we were applying to everything and nothing was quite hitting, and then we applied to BNZ Art of the Start program, and they loved the idea and they wanted to get us in, and they awarded us $20,000,
which was huge
on getting us into producing our album, which was so exciting.
Yeah.
We're so grateful.
That is so cool. And have you done it? Have you produced the album now?
Yes. So we recorded at Depot Sound in Devonport, which is a really great facility. And we spent like 110 hours in the recording studio. It was a big job. And so it's all been recorded. It's all been mixed. And now we're just getting ready to release it.
Next
on September
week.
1st.
And we've got a few teasers tonight on the show.
Yes, that's right. You'll be the first to hear any of the music.
And then what next? Are you then going to stage the production? Like, what's the next goal?
Next year we're planning to do some more workshops. We'll do a couple in Auckland probably and some in Wellington. Just workshopping some of the things we found, like, oh, this is what we changed, maybe play around like the keys of stuff. And then we're looking to put it on stage. So our ideal plan would be to like partner with a theatre company or a venue and put it on for maybe a 2028 season is what we're currently thinking.
Good on the BNZ Emma though, because anyone thinking about producing a work loves to hear the music. And it is, you know, it's hard for new work to come out. You and I are directing and producing, you know, we do like to hear what it is that, you know, before we're tempted. So, good on them.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
And to take a punt, because, like, that, the other people that got the BNZ, because, you know, there was a few of them, right, were kind of like products and quite random things. So I thought it was really cool that they went with an arts focus. Because, you know, they could have said, Creative New Zealand can give them money, and we all know that never happens.
No, 100%. No, it was really cool.
So how do the two of you work together? Like, who's writing the music, the lyrics? Do you just sort of bash it out between you, throw notes all over the floor?
For our first musical, it was a lot more sit in the same room and bash out a song. Whereas this time, because we were much more long distance, because Sammy's based in Wellington and I'm based in Auckland, so it would be Sammy would come up with an idea and she'd send it through, and then I'd tinker on it for a bit and then send it back. Or I'd come up with something and I'd say, oh, do you think this works? And she'd go, no. try this instead. So it was a lot more of this pass back and forth. We had some really, really long phone calls where we would discuss and talk, or I'd be sat at the piano and go, can you hear this over the phone?
Yeah.
She'd go, no, yeah, but I'm sure it's great.
Yeah.
So it was a lot more of that this time than we were used to. Yeah,
but Harry did all of the orchestration. We did have Casey Devonshire and Eden Oshry helped with the guitar and drum orchestration, but otherwise Harry did everything for the acts. Yeah, that's not my expertise, but I did most of the lyrics, I'd say. We definitely collaborated on it still. But yeah.
That's awesome. And you say this is your second musical, so tell us about your first one and where is that at in the journey?
Yeah, sure. So our first musical was called Afloat 20 Years After the Rise, which was performed by Rangitoto College at the Glen Eden Playhouse Theatre, which was a really, really cool thing. That show was about the idea of if we lose our land, if we lose Whenua, what happens to a group of people. So the idea was that all land masses had been flooded due to like global warming and sea levels rising, and sort of how people kind of turn into monsters when they lose something that's so integral to, you know, who they are as a nation. So that was our first show. It was a very, very different to this. That was a very like folksy, I would say. Like it only had like four instruments, whereas this is a much more like probably more inspired by your classic American musical theater, I would say.
Yeah, and we're hoping to revisit that show and do all of our rewrites and make it more up to date with where we are and what we want to say.
Yeah, totally.
Which is going to be fun too. We were looking at rewrites recently, weren't we, Sammy?
Yeah, totally. So, yeah, we're juggling, you know, workshopping Clockwork and then also doing rewrites for Afloat. But yeah, that's definitely something that's in the near future.
That is so cool.
So given that there are 31 pieces of music in Clockwork, tell us about the people you got in for the concept album.
Absolutely. Do you want me to take this, Amy?
Yeah, go for it.
We had incredible. How many in the end?
There were 22 performers, all based in Tamaki Makaurau.
Yeah.
Which is really cool.
Getting incredible. Kiwis. Sammy and I both sing on the album, as well as Tuva Maddock, Tag Maddock, and Annalie Maddock.
Got full family.
Got the full family in.
It's good to get a family.
Yeah.
Talented, talented group of people. Jocelyn Scott, who you all
know and love
on the tour of Heathers recently.
Yeah, and then Asher Whitehead as well, who plays a younger version of Harry's character, which is quite fun. So we've got a really great cast.
Super strong cast.
Yeah, we were really pleased that we could have so many Kiwis on it. We really wanted it to be a Kiwi project.
Yeah, they're all exceptionally talented and they deliver excellent performances.
Yeah.
That's so cool. Now, you know, for our listeners that are just listening to your voices and wondering, I mean, you are very young to be writing full-scale musicals. You know, they take a lot of work. How cool is that, though? Like, that must be exciting for you, again, to get that funding behind it as well.
Yeah, but absolutely.
To be able to produce something so good, so young, I mean, it's kind of the world's your oyster.
Yeah, totally.
Fingers crossed.
Dare I ask on radio, how did you two meet?
Yeah, we actually met in performing arts. It was a little holiday program. I think we were 14, 15? Yeah.
I think younger than that.
Maybe even younger. We might have been 12, 13.
Yeah.
We met quite young through doing theatre together, performing. And then, we performed for ages. We ended up going to the same high school. We started writing music together for, like, Smoke Free Rock Quest. And a lot of our feedback was, your music's great, but it's very musical theatre. You know, we're kind of looking for pop rock. It's not, So we kind of evolved into maybe
pivot.
We should. Yeah, we did. We pivoted.
Yeah, that's cool.
Maybe we should write music.
Then they travelled to America together.
That's true.
Sat in the hallway writing music instead
that's
of going
true.
To shows.
Yes.
They had deadlines.
Yes, I remember all our friends were going out to Broadway shows and we're like, oh, you want to come? We go, sorry, we're writing our musical.
Yeah. That is so cool. So committed. All right, let's take a listen to one of the tracks and then we'll unpack sort of your own individual journeys and we'll find out what's taking Sammy to Wellington. So the first track we're going to play is called Beautiful. Do you want to tell us where does this sit in the story?
Yeah, do you want to explain? No? Okay. So this song, Harry is singing sort of the main vocal line. So he plays the role Kurosia, and he's sort of the personification of, like, decay, and he's sort of... This is the first time he enters the clock. Mm. He's interrupting this big event, so it's the end of Daylight Savings, which is a big event for the clock, sort of the process of them holding back time, which is...
Big festival.
Yeah, it's a big deal for them, and Kurosia interrupts it, and, yeah, he sings the song, and he brings with him the Time Trio, who are these three showgirls. They represent past, present, and future, and they, yeah, travel around with Kurosia, and this is the very first time we hear him sing.
Brilliant. All right, let's take a listen.
I can see it in you, your big dreams, your lust for something more. Let Kurosia answer your questions. Yes, you can be so much more to your small world. Oh, it'll be beautiful. Take my hand, let's touch my. I can make you shine. I can make you beautiful. I can make you mine. I can make you beautiful. I can make you shine. I will make you beautiful. I will make you. Broken parts of you that you won't even see for yourself. See for yourself. I hear all the flaws you wish to change. I can help you to improve your ways. I'll show you. A smart piece.
Like a smart piece.
Let me listen. Let me hear.
She wants to be changed.
I can hear it. Now I'll make it easy. I will make you mine. Make you mine.
Oh, very cool. Very cool, team. Wow, at such a young age to be writing music that complicated as well. And for our listeners, he's actually, during the track, singing along, but commenting on how difficult some of the parts were. It's like you created this difficultness for a musical director to try and teach. Thanks for that. That's awesome. Absolutely awesome. How many takes did that track take? Like,
not many, actually. Yeah.
You're not over fussy that it never gets produced? Because often we talk to, you know, Kiwi music artists in here, and they said the biggest problem is you get really critical and one track can go for so long, and they kind of just, sometimes it's the budget that sets the limit.
You see, $20,000 sounds like a huge amount of money, but for a project at this scale, it was we were cutting it close.
It went quick, yeah.
We had a number of hours that we had in the studio, and we knew, because I had one day where I had to record everything that I recorded for the entire show. So what we did for this song is I sang the entire song twice.
Yeah.
And then there were a few moments to go back at, but most of it we were like, yep, good, let's, on to the next one. You have this song and this song and this song to hit. So we were very, very speedy, which is why we were so lucky to have the incredible people that we had.
Yeah.
Because it was the same with the trio that sing in that song, Bianca, Bernice, and Kate. They didn't get that many takes at all to get through their stuff. Sometimes just one.
But they were amazing.
And they were incredible. Very, very sharp.
Yeah.
Well done. When I, you know, hear your storyline and hear the music, sort of thinking then from a directing point of view, okay, what's the set going to look like? Like, have you got visions in your head where this could go?
There's like three main locations. So it's sort of the exterior of the clock, which is, you know, very ornate, I imagine. And you definitely need like your cuckoo bird door. That's a big part of it. Where sort of where Birdie, who is the cuckoo bird, that's where she sort of exists in the world. And then we have the time trio's dressing room. So Kurja sets up a club at the inside the clock, and the trio's dressing room is where a lot of the action happens. And then there's also a couple of scenes in the space between time, which I don't want to give too much away, but that's quite cool. So I think set is quite a big thing. The biggest tech element, I think, would be costume with this show, because a big part of the plot is all of the characters get what's called the dusting spread through them, which is they come out in all these like sparkly decorated costumes, and that's sort of a quite a big part of the story. Lots of costume changes, some like Elle Woods-esque very fast quick changes as well on stage, which is quite fun. I think
costume will be the big one for to bring it to life.
Yeah, totally.
That is so cool.
I'm envisaging lots of steampunky kind of those elements too, to get their mechanics and everything, which is so much fun.
A set maker's dream. Come up something cool. So, Sammy, what's taking you to Wellington? Are you studying down there?
Yes. So, I am currently a second-year arts management student at Te Whakaari, NZ Drama School. I'm currently in Auckland at the moment because I'm interning on cabaret with Auckland Theatre Company.
That's so exciting.
Yes, it's very cool. That's part of my Te Whakaari studies, is we have to do internships on professional projects. So I'm in Wellington for that. I'm probably going to come back after my last year, which is next year, just because I love Tamaki Makaurau and all the theatre and things that are happening up here. So I'm studying at the moment.
Nice. What's it like working with cabaret team?
Oh, it's amazing. Everyone's so lovely. And I'm interning in stage management, and the team is just phenomenal. They're all experts in their area. And, everyone's so warm and welcoming. And it's really nice to actually see and experience professional theatre.
So the course that you're doing at Toy, does it cover lots of different elements?
Yeah, absolutely. It covers lighting, sound, AV, and that's all with design and also operation. And then it also covers stage management, production management, producing, event management, just kind of a bit of everything. And I definitely love stage management the most, I think, and producing. So I think that's maybe a pathway I'll go down. Yeah.
And do you just, at every given moment, just have your music playing subtly so the producers at Auckland Theatre Company suddenly go, what is that musical we've been listening to?
Yeah, that's quite smart.
You should get it subtly put into, like, the pre-show music or something.
So much money.
Yeah. What is it? Imagine. Got to put it out there.
Totally.
And Harry, what about you? What are you up to in your daytimes at the moment?
My daytimes, I'm just working and doing lots of preparations for all the shows that I'm in at the moment.
So, name those. You're in a few.
Yes. At the moment, I am in Heather's Teen Edition with Stage Antics, which will be on stage very shortly. It's looking awesome. I am also the vocal director for Hana the Glowworm at Center Stage, which is also looking incredible. We did some headshots today of the beautiful, beautiful cast. It's really shaping up. I've finished teaching them all their music, just some last finishing touches before whipping through some dress rehearsals.
That is so cool. So, do you have a preference to sort of acting, performing, vocal coach, musical director, writing, composing, anything else? Yeah, photographer, because you're also a great photographer for headshots, etc. I've heard that tonight, all about it.
I think my preference will always be stage. I love performing, I love singing.
Right.
It's so awesome. But I think everything is close behind. So, I love teaching and working with people. I think they're so, I love what people bring and their energies and how that interacts in the room and creates something really special and unique, and like the collaboration of it all is so exciting. And then photography is just a passion that I have, as cause I love images and just the look of people on camera. I think you can see so much life, especially in performers. I think I do some photography through work of like timber and products, and it's just not the same as performing artists.
It's not talking to you.
No, not the same way.
Timber!
Well, maybe if it is talking to you, it's time to see somebody. Yeah. I mean, that's really cool. That's really cool. But, oh, yeah, obviously a real coverage of creative stuff. Awesome. Once Clockwork is kind of not done and dusted, because obviously you want to produce it, like, do you wait to get that done and sort afloat, or are you already brainstorming the third production?
Yeah, we're really...
What boring thing did you sit in to create your third one?
Yeah, we're really bad at, we'll go, okay, we can't start another project, we need to do this, but then of course you can't control when the ideas come to you. We do have an idea and a couple
very
of
secret
initial songs for our next musical. It will be a musical, of course. Yes, but we're trying really hard to delay that until we've done rewrites for a flow. But yeah, we're looking at exploring more genres of musical theatre, like subgenres, and something a little more political probably than Clockwork, which is quite exciting. I think I've absorbed a lot of political theatre, especially in Wellington.
I think
we have something we really want to say, and we think musical theatre is a great genre to say what we want to say. But stay tuned. It'll probably be a while before that reaches anyone's ears. But
it could not be.
Yeah, we'll see.
Who knows? We could get
depending
over-ambitious.
Who reads your notes that you leave lying around. Is there a show that someone else has written? Is there a show that if a producer walked in and offered you the dream role? Now, that could be a dream role, acting or directing or producing, but someone walked in the door and went, I want you to do in... You would just drop everything and go and do it.
I want to be Rum Tum Tugger in Cats. So desperately. I would do anything.
Wow.
Really?
I would do anything.
Yeah,
I
could see it.
I would do anything to be in Cats.
Yeah, Harry's number one Spotify album, was it last year or the year before, was Cats, and by a lot.
I'm a top listener of that album, Cats 1981.
Well, someone's keeping Andrew ticking. That's great. What is it that you love so much about Cats?
I love the music. I love how weird and random it is. And the costumes are so fun. It's such a chorus show. Getting to... Because you do your part and then you join everyone else. And it's so weird and fantastical and fun and kooky. And a lot of the time, the audiences that come to watch it are so in for it.
Yeah.
I feel like it's the type
you kind of have to be.
It's the type of show that you have to kind of know that it's a weird show, but it's so fun.
Controversial question then. Did you like the movie or hate it? Be honest.
Oh, that movie's not the musical.
No.
It's its own thing.
It is.
Nah, it was weird. I think it didn't embrace the theatricality of the show.
Yeah.
Which I think is the core.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Totally. Okay, all right, so Cats for you, and I can see it. And it's a shame we're radio and not television, because then they could see what Harry has on his head, which would then point you towards the direction of something animal-like, definitely. Okay, Sammy, dream role?
Yeah, I think it would probably be Anna in Frozen.
Mm.
I did play her in the junior version when I was like 16 or something, and it was
the New Zealand premiere.
It might have been the Auckland premiere, but it was, yeah, it was really after the pilot program. Yeah, it was like the time of my life, and I would love to play her in the full version because there's some really great songs that, you know, get cut for the junior version. So, yeah.
Did you do the full costume change in the junior version?
At the start. For Elsa?
Oh, you were Anna.
I was Anna.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, so I got to watch from the side.
Okay, all right.
Cool. Loves an open door.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's always my favourite YouTube clip watching when those go wrong.
Yes, yes.
I love that, when they go wrong.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, that's cool. So, where to from here for your journey in the arts, do you think? And, you know, being realistic, where would you like to take all this?
Yeah, I think realistically, composing won't be our main gig. I mean, it's, you know, it's kind of hard to make
Slim
that a sustainable thing, especially when it's so long between producing projects, because, you know, this show took us 2.5 years to
get here, and it's not even finished yet.
But we'll definitely keep doing that. I think I will definitely pursue stage management as more of like a, I guess, daytime gig, if you can say. And then composing by night, I guess, is what I'm looking to do. Yeah, what about you, Harry?
I'm hoping to study in musical theatre in Australia next year, so I'm doing all my uni applications over the next few weeks. So that's the hope for me. Fingers crossed.
Yeah, nice.
Singing and dancing.
Awesome. Awesome. Start that journey.
Mm-hmm.
Any preference for where you're going to head?
Oh, I'd just love to get in anywhere. I think they're all incredible programs, and I'd be very lucky to study anywhere.
Nice, nice. Yeah. Start saving your dollars.
Yes.
Oh, best believe.
Yes, yes. That's the only trouble.
Not cheap.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You talk about, you know, getting afloat, sort of rewritten and ready to go out.
Mm-hmm.
Do you look at potentially then giving that to somebody to market for you and promote, like a copyright holder to take over it? Or are you too close to it yet to let go?
No, I think I'd be totally open to that if we found the right people in place that we think could, you know, care for it. But no, I totally would be open to that. I think, yeah, for a while we were talking about it would be really cool to get more like high schools to put it on, because Rangi Toto, doing that with them was a really cool experience. And it's got a good number of roles for a high school, I think. And yeah.
So have you thought about bundling it like a package that you can send to drama teachers and go, hey, here's the deal, this is what's available?
Yeah, totally. I think that's something
we
would consider.
Really great about our first show compared to our second show is because we were writing with more of that high school voice in mind, it'd be a lot more manageable for those young developing voices.
Mm,
whereas our newer show is definitely a level up.
Right.
Yeah. And you would need
Slightly older,
slightly more mature, confident cast to deliver some very impressive vocals.
I love it that they set the bar high. Set the bar high. But I think, you know, sometimes you've got to be quite proactive and literally go to the schools and go, here's some clips from our last time.
Yeah, totally.
Here's the tracks. If you like it, this is the bundle. Perhaps do a, you know, a bit of a copyright launch to start with, you know, instead of a percentage, it's a set fee or something to try and get a few more schools hooked in. Because it'll only take a few to see it for others to go, oh, I'd quite like to do that.
Yeah, totally.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. Now, you've got a launch coming up of your album.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
Yes. So, we've got a release event on August 30th. It's at the Rose Centre. You're welcome to come along. We just ask that people RSVP. You can find all the information on our Instagram, which is clockwork.musical. So we're just going to talk through the plot, listen to a couple of the songs, and then, just celebrate with the cast and friends and some producers that we've invited. Yeah.
Nice. Are you singing live there or just playing your actual recorded tracks?
Just going to play the tracks, less stress.
Yeah.
And then so everyone can hear a sneak peek of the album,
Before its release on September 1st.
Yeah.
Awesome. Brilliant. Well, we wish you every success.
Thank you.
With it. Good luck with the album launch. Stay in touch and let us know if someone is producing it or when you're ready to tell us the secret story behind the shared musical that's been written.
Yeah.
Good luck with the auditions. Good luck with Cabaret. We're going to close your interview with I Don't Wanna Hurt. Tell us about this track.
Yes. So this song occurs in the... towards the beginning of the second act. It is sung by Tag Maddock, who plays the role of Girithin, whose Emmy was discussing earlier. Now, what's happened in the song prior is he's been revealed this huge, devastating news that this piece that he's fallen in love with is actually evil, and he kind of is dealing with that fact in this song, so he's very sad. He sings lots of very sad melodies and high notes. And he, I won't give away too much of the song, but he vows to kind of be the reckoning. So it's the big, it's a big turning point for the character and the narrative.
Nice. Yeah. Brilliant. All right, we'll close the interview with this. Thanks so much, team, for coming along.
Thank you.
All the best for the rest of your year. Here it is.
I don't wanna search through the stars to find you. Can't you leave the night sky for tonight? I'm lost in your light. So what all was it, the love you declared? All just planned gestures to show that you care. I'm the one you shattered right down to the bones, and yet for you I traded. Last broken heart. I don't care what's left or whatever was. I'll piece it back together no matter the cost. I don't wanna hurt anymore. I don't wanna search through the stars to find you. Beyond her wing, and Birdie became my simplistic wing. How do I repay them for all that they've done? I make the vote and my family is gone. Oh my God, these feelings, they burn and tear out my heart, each last broken part. I don't care what's left or whatever was. I'll piece it back together no matter the cost. I don't hurt anymore. I don't.
Emma. It's such a fantastic piece of music, and just so incredible to think someone or some people as young as who we just had in our studio has written that full-scale musical.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I'm guessing they're 18 to 20. That's sort
yeah,
of the age group.
19.
Wow. You know, so much talent. That's not an easy score to write.
No, it's pretty complex.
Yeah, congratulations, guys. All the best with your launch of your album. And how cool to hear BNZ supporting them. Yeah. I love hearing that because that's not a group that we have ever mentioned on here, I don't think, supporting the arts. And that was a decent support. So, yeah, good on you, BNZ. Awesome work. All right, well, from Clockwork the Musical to time to head now to Dunedin to catch up with what is described as fast becoming one of New Zealand's most exciting emerging acts. It's Dunedin's alt-rock five-piece Ivy Band, and they're about to release a new track, and we are chatting to the lead singer, Jesse. Good evening, Jesse Hannon. How are you?
I am doing very well. Thank you very much. That was a nice intro. How are you?
We are good, thank you. So tell our listeners all about Ivy. When did it first sort of form and kick off?
Yeah, so we actually started when we were in high school. I was about 15, and I was pretty much just up to no good. And so I just decided with a couple other mates that we might as well put our time towards making some music. And we hit the ground with no covers and just started writing pretty much straight away. And it was a bit of fun for a while, and then it kind of slowly transformed into something that we kind of wanted to take more seriously. And so probably over the last, I'd say, 4 years, we've been pretty much just consistently trying to be, a professional band, you know. So we kind of somehow landed on the sound of kind of alternative rock. It seems to be quite popular in Dunedin. And so, yeah, we just released our first album, Hush, last year. And we have a new single out, Gutter, and we're about to head to Australia in October. So, yeah, we're 5 days.
That is cool.
Yeah, we're just trying to make some music.
That is so cool. And are you all originally from Dunedin, or have some of you met down there in sort of the student world?
Well, 4 of us are from Dunedin, and one of us has moved here when he was 15 from Australia. So he's kind of, I'll say he's a New Zealander at this point. But yeah, we're all from Dunedin at heart, and we all went to school together, so it's a close group of guys.
Nice.
Got to ask what school it was. Was it Otago Boys or Kings?
Oh, no, it was neither. Oh. It was, we went to Bayfield, which is one of the more, it's a co-ed school.
Yep.
One member went to Tiger Boys, and Bayfield was a good school. It allowed room for the arts.
Definitely, it still does. Yes, you're speaking to a Queens High girl here.
Oh, thank goodness.
I love that your comment that you didn't do covers, you went straight into writing your own music. Was that like a conscious choice? Did you want to be different to what else was out in the market at the time? Like, what made you go down that path?
I kind of got inspired really early from Jimi Hendrix. I read his biography, and I just kind of thought, I couldn't be bothered, to be honest, learning other people's music. I was actually just incredibly lazy, so I just thought, why not just make my own stuff? So it kind of actually came from that, to be honest.
Fair enough. That's cool. When I read your bio, one thing that sort of caught my attention was your moment when you performed with the 26-piece Dunedin Youth Orchestra at the Dunedin Arts Festival. Tell us about that one. That's a good backing track to have.
Oh man, I'll tell you what, that was pretty nuts. our violinist and myself grew up through the classical musical world. So I did classical singing and he did classical violin. And his mum was on the board for the Dunedin Youth Orchestra. And she just listened to our music and thought, you know what, this actually would sound pretty good with a youth orchestra. And so she, and along with the rest of the board and us, organized this kind of big thing along with the Arts Festival to play our music, which was orchestrated by, you might know Anthony Ritchie.
Yes.
He's quite a famous classical composer through the university. And him and Maddie Craig Pearson from the university took all our pieces, just listened to it, orchestrated it, and we got the chance to perform with the orchestra. and it was quite the experience. I was very nervous, that's for sure. Yeah.
That's so cool, though.
Yeah, it was great. It was awesome. It was so fun.
So where to next with the band? You mentioned, you know, a performance in Australia coming up. Where's sort of what's the long-term or next-term goals with the group?
Well, at the moment, we're going to go to Australia in October, and we're doing 5 shows over there. I think the short-term goal is to make the money to get there, and then the long-term goal is to try keep going across. I mean, it sounds a little silly, but try take it globally, like beyond Australia, especially in the UK. So, yeah, we're kind of aiming to set our sights on something bigger and better, and we want to just keep making more music. I think that's the main goal. Mm. We want to have a good collection of our own art, I guess.
And how does a group, you know, with so many people like your group, actually create that music? Do you have certain people that are writing the lyrics, writing the music? Like, how does that all work? Or do you take turns? How do you make it all work?
That's a good question. I think a lot of people would assume just if someone writes the chords and the lyrics and the melody that they've written the full song. But I think anyone who's really been in a cooperative band, let's say I write a whole song, I hand it to the guys, and every time it will transform into kind of its own version of that song. So, you know, we usually have one writer who will write a song, and it might be myself or James, our guitarist, and by the time it goes through the process of recording and writing and mucking around with it, it really becomes quite a group effort. So, yeah, I think it's usually through channel of one person, but by the time it reaches the audience's ears, it's been through the long process of experimenting with the sound that we've got.
Nice, nicely said. So, 2025, you released your debut album, Hush, and now you're working, you've just released Gutter. Are you working towards another full album, or is it just, let's see how we go and release some singles?
Yeah, definitely an album. That's probably the main focus. I think the best kind of music is in the context of an album. It's always been the tried and true way that we listen to music. I think social media and TikTok has kind of made our short-term memory kind of want singles, and, you know, we're not kind of about that. So definitely another album is in the works. We've written most of the material, and I think now we're just at the stage where we're just trying to find, I guess, the right producer and the right finances to be able to make that record.
Brilliant.
Finances being the key, right?
What was that, sorry?
Finances being the key.
Oh, man, is it ever. But, yeah, you know, we don't do it for that, I guess. That's the way to put it.
We don't, but it's all about the survival of keeping doing it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And supporting the smaller artists as well, that's always something.
Yeah, totally. So if people are listening and want to track down your music, follow you, find you on socials, what can they look up?
They can look us up on Instagram and Facebook. The tag is just IVNZ. I would recommend Spotify as a pretty kind of accessible way of listening to our music, just Ivy in all caps. Same with Apple Music and Bandcamp. I'd encourage them to look into getting some physical media. We have vinyls and T-shirts and yada, yada, yada. So,
nice.
Yeah, just anything to do with the Ivy all caps, you'll find us there.
Brilliant. Now, we're going to close the interview with Gutter. Tell us about the story behind this one.
Well, to be honest, it was kind of a bit of a protest song. I think Dunedin's quite a liberal city, and we're quite politically kind of aware, I guess, as young people. And so I wouldn't say it's very subtle. It's not really meant to be about subtlety, but it was about my current viewpoint on the kind of geopolitical situation in the world, particularly in the current situation in the Middle East. So, yeah, it is about that, but I don't encourage people to think about it in that way, and I want them to take their own perspective when they listen to it.
That's awesome. Jesse, absolute pleasure talking to you tonight. If you guys are ever in Auckland, bring your whole band into the studio. We'd love to interview you and play live. Bring the whole team in.
That would be amazing. Thank you so much. That's been a really, really great set. Cheers.
We'd love it. Here is Gutter from Ivy. Go and check them out, support them, and do your thing. Gutter from Ivy. Check them out. Good Dunedin band. And appreciate having you on the show, Jesse. Thanks very much.
A definite Dunedin student sound.
It's got that, as you said, alt rock.
Definite
sound. What a lot of variety we've had on tonight's show, from Clockwork the musical to an alt rock musical to music. And now, Acacia, kind of welcome back to Kick Arts, and you're bringing us something very different to talk about tonight. Welcome back.
Thank you so much. Great to be here.
Great to have you here. And which hat are you wearing tonight? Who are you representing?
So I'm here representing Samud Ensemble, and that's pretty much it, isn't it? Yes. Samud Ensemble, we've just come from a board meeting. It's all very exciting. We've become a charitable trust. Yay! Go us. And I'm here with darling friend and incredible singer and artist, Eva Maria. And I'm scared to say your last name. Ghanam. I'm learning Arabic, but on Duolingo slowly.
Good on you. And so you're here to talk about Ezra, is that how we say it? Stories of Palestinian Prisoners, which is to take place at Tipo Theatre soon. Yeah. So tell us a little bit about this journey.
Yeah, so this show went up in 2024 at The Basement already. Dr. Rand Hazu is the director, and he's compiled it's a documentary theatre piece, and so he's taken the stories of five Asra, Palestinian prisoners, and we use a bunraku puppet, which is about up to your shoulder. No, maybe a bit shorter than that. And it takes three people to manipulate it, and we tell the stories verbatim through the puppet. And Eva brings all of the sound and the music alongside that.
So cast as well with the puppet, or just purely through the puppet?
So with the prisoners, it's just the cast. With the prisoners, it's just the puppet, but we also have interviews from a former chief interrogator, Israeli interrogator, called Michael Kubi, and those ones are two actors playing them rather than the puppet.
Wow. It's, how did you, so when you say it's verbatim, how did you piece it all together or pull these stories together?
Rand, the director, he had this book, or came across a book called These Chains Will Be Broken, and he reached out to ask for permission to use the stories, and has been in conversation with them for a while, and he's been wanting to make this for a long time.
Autobiographies,
yeah. And then also the... Oh, what's his name? Mark. It's the interview with the Israeli interrogator. He also reached out directly to the interviewer and asked if he could use that as well. So, yeah, and then during the process, Rand, he's a lecturer at Massey University, so he brought in heaps and heaps and heaps of paperwork, and we were like, okay, here we go, and we read through everything. This is 2 years ago now, and found out which bits were the most theatrical and beautiful, because obviously a lot of it's really dark, but through the stories we're really trying to focus on hope and life, and it's a lot of it is around kind of what is freedom and finding stories where people feel really empowered. They study and learn 16 languages in prison, or they make it imagine
when you've got 100 something sentence, so yeah. Got nothing but
103 years. I think he said he was sentenced. So obviously there's the darkness. Don't touch things.
We just lost you off the
line. Obviously there's the darkness, but we're really looking for those really the really beautiful human stories and the inspiring stories that remind us what it means to be human.
So given this is already performed once before at The Basement, have you gone away post that and gone, okay, now that we've done it, this is what we'd tweak, changed, or are we seeing the same performance, or have you had lots of sort of workshoppers around it?
Who's going to? We'll let Eva talk soon. Sorry, I'm sick of my voice. the main point of this now is that we've made it tour ready, and we've got education resources to go alongside it. And our intention is that next year we'll go into schools, universities, prisons, marae, local community places, and we'll just take this story and use it as a tool to connect with people's hearts around the ongoing struggles. It'll be different, and it's kind of simplified, and Eva's voice is recorded, whereas last time it was live, which was a beautiful blessing. That's the main intention at the moment, is that we can tour it, and we've got a Wellington one booked already just from today. We're going to go down to the Wellington Puppetry Festival in September too, so that'll be great.
Brilliant. So, Eva, talk to us a bit about the music inside these stories.
So, the music, the music's role is to be like the glue in between those stories and the parts that have the interview with Michael Kubi. And my role was to really try to curate the musical sound of the scenes themselves, but also at the end of every, and sometimes within every scene, there is a song that is relevant to the story. And some of those songs are traditional or folk Palestinian songs. Some of them are known songs in the Levant area about resistance, about hope, about how to defy injustice. So, yeah. And what changed from last time, other than being recorded this time, is that we also engaged different people. So we've got a different cast, but we also have two different musicians this time, and it adds to the flavor because everyone's got their interpretation, and the musicians that I worked with both times are really incredible, but they're not necessarily originally well versed in Arabic music, because the Arabic music have got the quarter tones. It's it could be melancholic, but also could be hopeful, and it's not just like plain happy, joyful all the time. Mm. It can be, but we've got different scales. And they did a great job into trying to tap into that part of them that's working to explore that, but also using their expertise within that as well, weaving it in.
Brilliant. What was the feedback from audience when you performed it last time at Basement? You know, I imagine a real mix of emotions.
Mm. Mm. Well, actually, funny you should say that, because I have some quotes.
Great.
Just right here.
These are the ones prepared.
Pre-prepared, something I prepared earlier. People say things like, it's surreal but grounding, incredible. They said, I really feel like this is what theatre is meant for, and puppets also. We consume so much about Palestine, but I really urge you to see this show by these diaspora artists here and now and show up for them in a tangible way. Mm. People, I think, can you remember, there was lots of, a huge outpouring of love, I think, to be able to come together and grieve and also celebrate. And just, I think so much of what, we don't let ourselves feel fully, or when we do, we're kind of in our own rooms or our own space, and yep. I think just being able to go all of this, and there was a lot of wordlessness afterward, but a lot of love.
Do you think that the use of the puppet helps the connection to the audience? Because, you know, your stories must be quite hard to hear, and if they were live actors more than the puppet, do you think that helps?
Definitely. I think that's definitely what Rand here is exploring. The care that the actors have to use to bring the puppet to life is one of the most kind of egoless performances I performed in the 2024. You know, you don't really look at the audience. You're putting your energy into the puppet, and then the puppet's connecting with the audience. Mm-hmm. And then I think absolutely what you're saying, it's, I don't know whether it's a good thing or a bad thing necessarily, but I think people really don't have a bias about the puppet. Mm-hmm. You know, they yeah. just and it's kind of small and beautiful and fragile, and it's made by a man called Paul Lewis, who's just incredible.
He's wonderful.
Puppet.
He's a great singer too.
I'm trying to remember what Rand said about it's kind of, people are able to care even more when it's kind of inanimate for some reason.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we use an interesting thing as well with audience interaction, where we almost puppeteer the audience and ask them to do things or kind of move them around the space. And we're really exploring questions of what does it mean to be free and what is free will? And, you know, sometimes we'll ask them to do quite... Mm. Well, in the first one, we're asked them to do quite a horrible thing. And they don't have to, but it's that weird thing of, if someone asks you in a place of authority, like in a show... Will you do it or not? and so far, everyone has.
Yeah. They might be too scared not to.
Exactly. That's what I mean.
They're squirming, but they still do it.
Or worried they're going to break your performance if they don't do what you've asked. There could be that element of wanting to honour what they've been asked to do.
I do think about that too. But yeah, it's a really interesting question in regards to, you know, military and soldiers and how we show up in the world and who's telling us to do what and why or why not are we doing them.
And I was following orders, kind of. Yeah. Kaupapa.
And curious if you tour with it to see if simple things like that are different as you travel around the country.
I suspect they might be.
And I think, you know, are Aucklanders more aware of what's happening in different parts of the world, and we're seeing, you know, the protests, and we're hearing the conversations where perhaps some small towns in New Zealand may not. I'm only making a total presumption, but, you know, it'd be quite interesting. I mean, I live right by Britomart, so, you know, I'm very aware.
Yeah.
Where, you know, you wonder if a small town in the South Island, how much they are, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And also the thing of, you know, at the basement season and also at Te Pau, people have come to our space. But when we go to their space, it might be quite different again, you know.
Yeah. We'll love it.
Curious about that.
All right, we're going to take a short music break, and then after the break, we're going to unpack your own journeys in the arts. Lots of fabulous Kiwi music being released at the moment. Corella has released a new track in the last week called Not I. Take it away.
To die on your feet and to live on your knees, so stand up. Who don't cut you down like the leaves on a dying tree? Nowhere to hide when the rocket hits. We all pick and fight the apocalypse. Now you tell me all your lies and your politics. Who they serving now? All these broken men and their broken dreams. Truth burn up like a light in the dark of the night, so stand up. They come to take all our rights, if you stand up and fight, no bow when the pressure come. Hold tight like the dread of a ragamon. You tell me now who will speak when they come around. They come around. All these broken men and their broken dreams. Burning down like the gasoline. When the world's falling, we fall on your knees. Let me say,
Not I. Check it out and support them. Now, in our inbox this week, of course, is the Auckland Theatre List. We've got a full show tonight, so we're not going to read through it, but make sure you sign up at thetheatrelist.com, where you'll get a good list of everything coming up. There is so much happening at the moment, Emma. There's no gap. Like, no. There's no quiet season for Auckland Theatre this year.
No, and it feels like people, the actors are going from show to show as well.
It's
amazing how many people are doing multiple shows this year. I don't know how they do it.
Yeah, fantastic. All right, back with our fabulous guests. Now, I'm curious in your own arts journey. So, Eva, take us right back. When did the arts and music and singing first kick off for you?
Well, I'm originally from Lebanon. I was born into a Christian family, so music was within church and school. And my teachers will pick me to sing solos, etc. And then I joined several choirs. One of them was one that toured internationally. So we did go to Carnegie Hall a couple times.
Wow.
Yeah, they're Antonin University. They're not going to be listening. No, but,
hey, we're a worldwide podcast.
We are, but it's just the time difference. And we also sang with the Pope in Lebanon and in Rome, and we did some operas here and there. And then I came to New Zealand nearly 10 years ago. Music has always been in my life, although it's not the main thing. I'm an originally trained journalist, but I've also worn many more hats. In New Zealand, I've been a bit more active in the past 3 years. It also helps that my kids are a bit older, so I get to be away for a bit.
Venture out of the house, yeah.
Yes. My repertoire is classical music, but it's also folk music from Lebanon and the region, and Palestine mostly as well lately in the past 3 years. And that's how I'm here.
That is so cool. That is so cool. Can I ask what brought you to New Zealand?
Love.
It's always love.
Aroha.
It always is.
Yeah. We met in at the Edinburgh Fringe, actually.
Oh, yeah.
And we both had our delegates with us going to see and buy some shows. And then we decided to meet again. And, yeah. So I came to visit in Christmas time in 2015. And the rest is history.
That is so cool. That is so cool. All right, Keisha, take us back. When did the arts first kick off for you?
Well, my first memories are sitting in my dad's guitar case in Christchurch.
That's cool.
Taking coins from people and making little coin piles.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yep. What a good way to get money.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Come on, Auckland buskers. Yes, you just need a little kid in your guitar case.
Exactly.
Brilliant. Also would stop people stealing the money.
Indeed.
Yeah. Okay, so kicked off there.
Kicked off there. My parents were musicians my whole life, so every now and then we'd go out of school and jump on the road with them and travel around and make music. And then I rebelled for a little bit, but it didn't last very long. And I ended up at Toi Whakaari in 2015 to 2017, and then have been acting mostly since then. But in the last couple of years, I've been, as well as acting, I've always been really driven to make my own work. I love love solo shows, actually, and playing with the audience. Mm. I think that play with the audience is really fun, but then the rest of the time it's quite lonely. And I was like, no, I really want to build, have people around. I want to get better at collaborating and doing lots of work with lots of people. So in the last couple of years, I've been just throwing myself in the deep end, doing some directing, mostly also because I'm like, okay, how do we respond as artists to the genocide? Okay, I want to put on a show. Who's going to direct it? Well, I'm not going to ask anyone else to do it for free, so I'll do it for free, Just lots of that kind of work over the last couple of years. It's been amazing. And then I think for the same reason, I've also ended up being really into producing and going, okay, again, a thing. Need to do it. Who's going to do it? Me. Okay, great. And I'll figure out how. Now, I never knew I'd get so excited about spreadsheets, but they can be really awesome. Do you know you can do like little drop-down options and stuff?
Oh, especially now you've got AI that can help, make them even look prettier.
I know.
When you started tonight's interview, you talked about, you've just formed a charitable trust.
Yeah.
So talk to us about your organisation.
Yeah, so it's Sumur Ensemble, and I am now officially the artistic director of Sumur Ensemble. For the last 2 years, we've put on festivals, two different festivals, and a few different shows. We did My Name is Rachel Corey that I came and talked to you about last time, which went amazing, by the way. It's an hour and 40 minutes of monologue, but in the end, which was crazy, but amazing, wonderful, wonderful, beautiful show. And now we are turning into a bit more of a kind of sustainable organization that does shows but also classes. And as Eva is an amazing singer, and her and I and our friend Ariana Williams, who teaches kapahaka, are starting a choir on Sundays that everyone is welcome to join. And we have a space out at Corbin's. It's moving really, really fast. It's actually hard to talk about all of it at the same time because there's so many things happening, but it's feeling really grounded, and it's growing out into the community. And we really would just love anyone that wants to make art around liberation to get in touch and join us, and there'll be some way to work together, because there's so many tentacles or facets or whatever you want to say of what we're doing at the moment, and it feels really alive, and really it's kind of the I feel so on the right path, actually, and I haven't felt that really before.
That's so cool. That is so cool. Well done. Well done. What a journey. I loved, though, that Emma, that at one point in Acacia's story, it was just, and then this date to this date, I rebelled. It was like, you just sort of blocked a little bit. It kind of feels like the, and that's the, sorry, parents, and we'll move on and not talk about it. I love it. I love it that it's still in your dateline, though.
Yeah.
That was great. Now, when we went to a music break before, Acacia said to us, Eva can sing tonight. And, you know, I said, without a backing track, and Eva just smiles at me. So, obviously not required. So, would it be appropriate to ask you then to sing?
Sure. Yes, thank you.
Yay.
Awesome. I'm going to kill all our other mics in the studio. So, Emma's going to get ready to do a little social with you, and we'll just let you take the floor.
Sure. So, the song that I'm going to sing tonight is an excerpt from Esra, and it's called the Adalama Sijni Khayyim, which means, O darkness of the prison, descend. So I'm going to sing it in Arabic first, and then I'll read the translation.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Ya Adalama Sijni Khayyim, نحن لا نخشى الظلام يا ظلام السجن خيم نحن لا نخشى الظلام ليس بعد الليل إلا فجر مجد يتسامى ليس بعد الليل إلا فجر مجد يتسامى يا رنين القيد زدني نغمة تشجي فؤادي إن في صوتك معنى للأسى وللطهاد إن في صوتك معنى للأسى وللطهاد. So it says, O darkness of the prison, descend. We do not fear the dark, for after night there can be nothing but the dawn of glory rising high. O ringing of the shackles, ring louder. Give me a melody that stirs my heart, for within your sound there lies a meaning of sorrow and oppression.
Beautiful. Well done. Oh, You could could feel the emotions and hear a pin drop. Yeah. And who needs a backing track? Beautiful. Tell us a little bit more about the choir you're going to do, because I can, now I've heard you sing, I can imagine you trying to sort of teach and coach.
Go, Eva, make something up.
Yeah, we just posted about it today, actually, but we're kind of also putting ourselves on the spot because our first performance will be on the 13th of September at the
Wow.
I know.
I'm just like going, hang on a second, that's like 3 weeks away.
Yes. At the FAO Collective Community Day at the Newlyn Community Center or Memorial Center. Yeah. It's going to be a mix of
Palestinian folk music,
And Kapahaka,
which will be really exciting. And we've kind of vaguely said songs for liberation, but some of
the Whakatauke.
And my dad actually composes Waiata Whakatauke in rounds. So with using the kind of Irishy traditions of round singing mixed with Te Reo Māori, but we did there in Te Reo Māori, Arabic and English.
We can demonstrate if you insist.
We can. Oh my God, we can.
Go for it. Right. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. You start. Or shall I? Okay, cool. Go to this. Kia kaha, kia maia, kia kaha, kia maia,
be strong.
I do love a visitor who can just come in here and sit and sing instead of what a night we've had, it's fantastic.
We've been
fantastic.
For a while
as well. That's cool. So how can people, if they're wanting to be a part of your choir, knowing that they've already got a guaranteed performance date coming up, how can they get in touch with you about it?
So we will be having a website. It's underway. We have a beautiful man designing that for us. But at the moment, the best way to get in touch with us is Instagram. Samud Ensemble is our Instagram, Samud_Ensemble. Or
S-U-M-U-D.
Yes, S-U-M-U-D. And then Ensemble.
Fantastic. A bit like Mel Parsons a few weeks ago. He said, I book a date in a recording studio and by then
true.
I know I have to write my music. Yeah. You guys have booked a performance and by then we have to be ready.
Yeah, but if you show up to the rehearsals, you don't have to go for the performance if that's not your thing.
No.
Come get involved.
From there, yeah.
Yeah, or if you want to, we also do play readings, Palestinian plays, but also other things that are aligned with the kaupapa. We do acting classes on a Tuesday night as well. Mm. There's lots of entry points and it's a really beautiful community.
Brilliant. And did I read your acting classes are in the cellar at Corbin's?
Yes. So we've got the cellar as a residency type thing at the moment. So we're really activating it with some other awesome people and just trying to, just really bring life to that space. I don't know if anyone's been out there, but it's really gorgeous.
Do you know what? It's got some history, that cellar. And Emma and I have performed wearing very little clothing at some times in that cellar. We've abused each other in that cellar. We've had our families cook and prepare food. Yeah, so it used to be our theatre restaurant years ago.
Oh,
a long time ago.
Yeah.
And so we used to run a weekly Thursday, Friday, Saturday theatre restaurant down there and the craziest characters in our Westie family, and we would change the storyline each week, each sort of semester, and different family members would come and cause chaos. Gosh. My mum made hundreds and hundreds of cheesecakes and my dad served behind the bar and the only way to kick people out at the end of the night was I got ready to go to bed, which often involved nothing much more than my boxes. I wouldn't do that these days. It would empty a room, though. So, yeah, we have
or,
a lot.
Or we'd set off the fire alarm.
Yes, yeah, we'll set off the fire alarm. We have a lot of love for that space. It's got some great stories.
It's great, isn't it? Yeah, we've got some really good things regularly on a Friday night with more clothes on than what it sounds like you did. Yes.
It's also cold in there as well.
Yeah, although we've got six heaters going now, so we should be okay. But $10 for soup and a movie happening now every Friday, and also kids shows on a Saturday at 11 and 2. So we're doing all sorts of things.
Awesome. Love it. All right, we're nearly out of time. So take us back to your show. When is it on? Where can people get tickets and all that important stuff?
All right. The show, Asra, Stories of Palestinian Prisoners, is on a Tepo Theatre from the 3rd till the 6th of September. It's just a short season, 5 shows for now. And then we will be making it available on the website so that you can book it, and we can come to you. We can go all around the country in 2027, and we are also going to Wellington on the 20th of September.
That's awesome. And 60-minute performance, 15-minute forum. What's the forum?
It's really just about menarche and giving space for people to be able to respond at the end, ask questions if they have any, have a bit of kind of guided kōrero back to from Tapu to Noa.
Beautiful. Love it. Well, all the best with your season. Thanks for singing live on our show. Keep telling us the different stuff you've got coming on. We'd love to keep promoting it.
We will.
And all the best with your new charitable trust.
Thank you so much.
We are out of time for the week this week. Boy, what a night, Emma.
I know.
Absolutely
it's been
fantastic.
Great.
We're going to close the show with our friends from Park Road. They've released a new track. The image looks awful. It's called Fatal. I'm not sure what we're in for, Emma, but we'll find out. Have a fabulous week, and make sure you
kick some arts.
Say you don't remember. I only came because I knew I would probably see it. As sad as it might seem, I keep thinking this time it will be different. Fatal. Looking for you on the dance floor. I didn't come in this. I didn't make it.
teeth and don't forget to go to sleep. We'll be going live, same time under the stars, saying blah, 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 blah. Let's go kick some art.